It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. According to UW-Madison, more than 2,500 Badgers participated in a study abroad program in the most recent school year.
Taking college courses outside of the U.S. can be a great opportunity to meet new people, encounter different cultures and perspectives, and learn more about yourself.
But that experience can be expensive, which can keep students from considering study abroad programs. For the last decade, the Global Gateway Initiative at UW-Madison has been helping bring down that barrier.
The program provides scholarships for students to participate in three-week intensive programs in one of three global locations. It also provides fellowships that help cover the costs of longer study abroad programs.
Two participants joined us for a firsthand look, along with the study abroad program leader from UW. Samantha Flores is a junior at UW-Madison who studied in Botswana. Stacy Tran is a 2024 UW grad who went to Singapore last year. And Dan Gold is director of international academic programs at UW-Madison. They joined me last week here in the studio. I started by asking Dan about the program and the goals behind it.
Yeah, the Global Gateway Initiative is a program run by International Academic Programs, which is the Central Study Abroad Office at UW-Madison. Starting in 2014, we had an idea that we wanted all students on campus to be able to have access to these wonderful, life-changing study abroad experiences. Almost 30% of UW-Madison students study abroad, but that leaves most students who don't have this experience. So what this program is are three-week faculty-led experiences for around 15 first- and second-year students, fully funded. So we take financial barriers completely out of the equation.
And Dan, when I think back distantly to my college years, I assumed study abroad was off the table for me. I thought, oh, we can't afford that. And that's the mentality you're trying to overcome here, right?
Exactly. For this, you know, for the students who think study abroad isn't for me, we want them to think this is a life-changing experience. This will benefit me academically, personally, professionally, and I can access it. We want every student on campus to have this belief.
And Stacy, what put studying abroad and the Global Gateway Initiative on your radar?
When I first transferred into the university, I wanted to maximize every opportunity out there. As a returning adult student, this is my second chance of doing college again. So I was looking at study abroad opportunities and came across the Global Gateway Initiative, which, as Dan mentioned, lifts all financial barriers. And the worst that could happen was a no. So I applied, and I specifically wanted to go to Singapore because of my interest in their sustainability efforts. And I've heard from everyone that if you can do study abroad at least once in your life, because it can change your life, and it did for mine.
Samantha, what got you interested in studying abroad?
Yeah, similar to Stacy, I had heard about the program from a friend. So my sophomore year, I really dug into it and took a look at what my options were. And I just had always been told, like, similar to Stacy, how if you can study abroad, you should definitely take that opportunity. And as someone who had never left the country for the first time, when I looked at Global Gateway and saw that that like financial barrier was something I did not have to worry about if I got into the program, was something that really drew me to the program, because it would have never been something that I thought I could even accomplish or even go on. But then also specifically with Botswana, I chose Botswana because a lot of the content in the course was social global problems. And I specifically was really interested in like the social, economic, and political discourses that we were going to be having on the program. So, yeah.
Dan, take us through a little bit of the history of the program and how it's grown over the years.
Yeah, it started in 2014 with one program and 15 students in Shanghai. And since then, we've been able to run 14 iterations with over 200 students. This past summer, we were able to send students to Botswana, Singapore, and D.C., Washington, D.C. For us, it's really just having programs around the world in locations students might not otherwise be thinking about it. We mix up the themes. We mix up the faculty. So, again, it's trying to pitch as broad a tent as possible so we could match all students' interests and backgrounds to having an opportunity that might help them. And so now it's, you know, we're up to over 50 students a year being able to take advantage of these opportunities.
All right, let's get to the fun part now and visit Singapore and Botswana. Stacy, start us off. You're off the plane in Singapore, just there from Wisconsin. What was that initial experience like?
Oh my gosh, it was enamoring, vivid, humid, unreal, hot. I didn't realize how close Singapore was to the equator, so that was a humbling lesson for me geographically. But we were, or I was just amazed by being encased by the amount of tropical plants that I try to grow at home, but also by the amount of diversity that was there, whether it was religious, ethnically, or racially. There was so much diversity in Singapore that I was wasn't anticipating. And in addition to that was just the smells. I could still smell all the food vendors, the savory, the sweet, the sounds of just the bustle of the city. And that was just like my first impression of the country, honestly.
We're going to come back to that food, by the way. Samantha, take us to your first impressions of Botswana.
Yes. So as I get off the plane, we're entering the airport and it's very hot and dry. So as we're entering, it's very calm, too. As you enter the airport, as you can imagine, a lot of the airports we've been to are very chaotic. And so as you enter the airport, it's very calm. As you give people, like, your passport, everybody's so welcoming. Everybody's super excited to see you. But also, they're super curious to know why you're there. And I always found that, like, really exciting just because I got to know their story, but then they also got to know mine. And so, yeah, that was kind of my experience, but everybody was really welcoming since the beginning.
We're talking about UW-Madison's Global Gateway Initiative to help make study abroad more accessible to students. We've got two recent participants, Stacey Tran, Samantha Flores, both with us, and Dan Gold, Director of International Academic Programs at UW-Madison. Dan, talk about study abroad as a part of education, a way to enhance the learning experience.
Yeah, I mean, study abroad, I mean, we really see it as an opportunity for growth, you know, for all students. But when you look at it conceptually, basically, it's just, you know, what can you do that's not on campus that will help your academic goals? And so basically, you know, the opportunities are endless. You could go with a faculty member and study one, you know, subject in the field research. You could enroll in one of the, you know, finest universities abroad and spend a semester or a year there. You could immerse yourself in language learning, for example, for a year in Germany and in our one of our programs there. Basically, whatever your major is, we're saying we can give you real world experience, experiential, you know, learning experience that's going to help engage you in your major, help you grow, help you gain independence. And, you know, in the end, the goal is it'll help lead you to, you know, professional development and good employment and, you know, value in what you're doing after you graduate.
Now, Samantha, let's start with you looking at the educational value. What do you feel like you got out of this intensive 3-week stretch in Botswana?
Definitely. So like I mentioned before, I took a course called Global Social Problems, and it really delved into social, economic, and political things occurring in Botswana. So with the course, I had two professors. One of my professors is a sociology professor and the other one's a law professor here at the university. So when I was engaging in these discussions and with the entire group, it was always very interesting to find those different perspectives from all around the table, just because I was the only business major on the program, but also a lot of the other students on the program, they were pre-health or going into like the medical field. So also hearing their perspective on how they were experiencing the program was something very interesting. And we kind of went off of each other in areas where we didn't know or have so much knowledge about. So I really spoke to like the economy and all of that aspect as a business major, but then I was also able to learn a lot from my peers and my professors. So yeah.
Stacey, you're I think a year out now from this Singapore learning experience. What did you take away from it?
My program was led by Dr. Gujan Buneman, and we were learning and exploring the religious diversity in Singapore. And for me, I studied education, policy, and information science. So religion doesn't explicitly tie into that. But what I realized while being at Singapore was that so much of our learning was experiential, and it could be applied in and out of the classroom. So for our cohort, we visited many temples, mosques, churches, and we got to meet with the local leaders of those respective religious spaces. And the beauty behind that was that we were able just to chat and ask questions in a safe space. And that was so valuable. And this concept of community building kept coming up. And I think earlier I mentioned food. A lot of these spaces, they also offer free meals to the community. And it was such a privilege to be able to, for all 20 of us to sit down with these locals and these leaders of these religious spaces and just eat food and ask questions. And that concept, I really summarize as like breaking bread builds community. And that has really found itself in how I carry myself in the classroom and outside of it too.
Dan, looking to the future, what are your hopes for the Gateway program?
Yeah, our hopes is, just seeing the growth in the students who have been on the program and the wonderful and exciting things that they have done, coming back to Madison, bringing it back to the Madison community, what they've gone on after graduation, just really inspires, us at UW-Madison to continue the program and to make it available to even more students. So we try to have them in every region of the world, Asia, Africa, and the U.S. We have them now. We were hoping to also add one in Latin America in the future years and keep rotating the subjects. So like having a program in sustainability and other areas to really engage, students of all majors to say, yes, this is an experience for you. This will help develop you in what you want to do in your career.
So when I come to a new place, at the top of my agenda, it's going to be the food. Stacey, let's start with you. What kind of food did you encounter in Singapore that you came to love?
First thing that comes to mind is laksa, which is a coconut-based seafood soup with noodles. Beautiful. I also think of the desserts. With it being so hot and humid, there's a lot of sweet desserts that are also fruit and icy. So like chendol is one of them. And so many of these dishes, now that we're talking, they're coming very vividly back to me, like satay, like meat on a stick with peanut sauce or tofu, like so many different ways of preparing a protein or like a vegetable that I like didn't realize was an option. So a lot of those things I've been making at home and making it for our cafe pop-up, just like random lattes with that's inspired by these desserts or focaccia that has laksa and curry powder, just random stuff that I think you would enjoy too.
Samantha, any food memories you want to share from Botswana?
Yes. So the first night we actually got a taste of Botswana. So we were able to have like an array. And I know that a lot of the foods in Botswana are very similar to like things that we eat here, such as like even rice, but a lot of it is like a different like form of seasoning. And then that's what's really makes it like their own food. So my favorite thing was that night. And specifically, I really enjoyed the beef that we had that night. It was pulled beef, and that night it was just an incredible night because it was just not specifically the food, but we also got to experience like the dance and other aspects of the culture.
Wow.
And they taught us their specific dances, and we also got to meet local college students in that setting. So kind of how I describe it is like it was kind of a gift that kept on giving, in the sense of like it continued to just like get better as the night went on. But yeah.
Fantastic. Dan, I wanted to ask, we're talking about programs in Africa and Asia. Now, sometimes people think study abroad, they're thinking Western Europe. Is that intentional, going to places that aren't the, the top of the list for a lot of people?
No, very much so. I mean, Europe does remain the most popular destination for students overall. But one of our purposes with this program is really to bring students to places they might not have thought of otherwise. That's why Botswana, Singapore, even Washington, D.C., domestic programs. So really, studying a theme in a particular location, there could be wonderful experiences that students might not have initially thought of. So students certainly can have a wonderful time in London, but they also could have a wonderful time in Botswana, and they might, it opens up doors that they might not have otherwise even dreamed of before. So,
Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Samantha and Stacey, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Samantha Flores is a junior at UW-Madison. Stacey Tran is a 2024 UW grad. And Dan Gold is Director of International Academic Programs at UW-Madison. We talked to them about the university's Global Gateway Initiative to help more students access study abroad opportunities.
You can join WPR tonight at 8 for live coverage of the ABC News presidential debate simulcast from NPR with Republican former President Donald Trump and Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris.
NPR's Mary Louise Kelly hosts this live special coverage, and NPR correspondents will offer some analysis, help put the debate into a wider perspective.
The debate starts at 8 o'clock here on Wisconsin Public Radio and at WPR.org.